Welcome to another episode of Talks from St. Peter's, a podcast bringing you live recordings of talks from our services at St. Peter's Church in Derby, a community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city.
I'm sure, like me, many of you were looking forward to the government's announcements over the last week about how our lives might change and get back to normal for the Christmas period. Some of you may have felt great joy at the three households rule for Christmas, finally being able to see loved ones that you haven't seen for months. Some, like me, will now be hit with the hard choices of who to see, who to bubble with, who will be in and who will be out. But I think all of us will have felt the effects of the new lockdown tiers that were announced on Thursday. With all of Derbyshire in Tier 3, pubs and restaurants will remain closed, and we will still be banned from meeting people indoors. At least when the current national lockdown ends, we can meet some people outside following the rule of six. I've been keeping track of the news headlines over the last few days, and it paints a bleak picture. I read on Sky News yesterday, restrictions likely until Easter as Gove launches fight back against Tory lockdown rebels. And then on the BBC, hospitals could be overwhelmed without new tiers, says Gove. It is certainly not the Christmas many of us would have hoped for. As many of you will know, I live alone. Not only that, but I don't live near many of my friends or family. Lockdown for those of us that live alone is difficult in different ways. I've been surprised just how much harder it's been this time around not seeing friends and family. Despite the connectedness that we can feel through the wonders of Zoom and mobile phones and WhatsApp and video calls, etc., I still long for a time where I can sit in a restaurant and eat a meal with my friends again, where I can drink tea with my grandparents in the front room, and where I can embrace those that I love in a hug. But for now, all we can continue to do is lament the loss of those close interactions that we as human beings so long for. Lament is a fundamental part of our faith, and is most prominent in the Psalms. In our Western world, where most of us live comfortable lives and want for little, it is easy to forget lament, but it's an important part of our faith. God cares about us and wants to hear what's troubling us. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, the psalmist cries in the opening lines of today's psalm. Continuing from verse 4, how long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. Strong words, aren't they? How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? I wonder what you make of this. I don't know if all that is going on in the world is because God's anger at us, but the point I'm making is that this book, the Bible, tells a story of a people that knew suffering just like we're going through now. Suffering in which the hurt and pain is laid bare. Suffering where our neighbours mock us, asking questions like, where is your God now? Why does he let this happen? And making statements like, there is no God. Now, I'm sorry to say that there are no easy answers to these questions. And this is especially the case with suffering, and a great many theologians over the centuries have written books on this. The only thing that I can say is that God knows how that feels, and from two different perspectives. As the father, he knows what it's like to see his only son beaten and murdered. As the son, he knows what it's like to be beaten and hung on a cross. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot understand the suffering we experience in our lives, but God knows all about it, and he knows firsthand how much that hurts you. But how do we come to terms with those that have a fundamental lack of belief in God, often driven by the fact that people do not perceive God is at work in our world? It is easy to look at the Bible and see God at work through the prophets of the Old Testament, or through the person of Jesus in the New Testament. But then we look back over the last 2,000 years, and we only see snippets here and there, and can easily say, well, where is God now? Our lives have become so fast-paced that it is easy to miss the small things. We live in a culture of instant gratification, one in which we can get what we want immediately. I'm just as guilty of being wrapped up in that culture, as I'm sure many of you are. By example, if I go to buy something on Amazon and find out that next day delivery is not available, I get really annoyed. And if I go to the supermarket and they don't have something that I want, it feels like the world's ending, especially if it's something I wanted for dinner this week. But the fact is that God doesn't work to our time. The stories we read in the Bible were written down nearly 2,000 years ago. But they are stories that would have existed orally for hundreds, if not thousands of years before that. When we read the Bible, we get a concentration of God at work in the world. All the key important things that people chose to tell and eventually write down. But our holy scriptures were set in stone around 1500 years ago, telling stories that happened hundreds of years before that. Part of being a community of believers is looking for God at work in our lives and in our world today. I'm sure if I asked Alice to unmute us all now, many of you would be able to share stories of where you have felt God particularly close or at work in your life. A couple of years ago, I read a book by Nabil Qureshi. Nabil was a Muslim who converted to Christianity. And his book, you can see the front cover there, is called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, A Devout Muslim Encounters Jesus. I was reminded of this book because of the way that Nabil describes his encounters with God. Ultimately, his conversion happened following a cryptic dream. It wasn't obvious in its meaning, and Nabil had to be open to recognizing God and spending time understanding it. Now, I wouldn't dare say that a dream is an unexpected way for God to communicate with us, as the Bible tells many stories of people receiving messages from God in this way. As I've shared previously, God spoke to me in a vision, which was a key part of me recognizing my call to ordained ministry. The fact is, God doesn't just not work to our time, but he works in ways we don't expect, in ways we don't instantly recognize. It reminds me as well of the story of Elijah recorded in the book of Kings. I'm sure many of you will know this, but it says, "And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." Our mighty Lord came to Elijah in a still, small voice. A voice so quiet, you could easily miss it if you were busy doing other things. And this is exactly the point that Jesus is making in our gospel reading today. It is probably why the compilers of the lectionary included it as the first reading for this Advent Sunday. Advent Sunday marks the beginning of the church's liturgical year and the season of Advent. Advent, which runs until Christmas Day, is a season of expectation and preparation and hope. As the church prepares to celebrate the coming or Adventus of Christ in his incarnation 2,000 years ago, as well as looking ahead to his final advent as the judge at the end of time. Today, Christmas has become so commercialized, it makes it much harder to fully engage with the season of Advent, remaining alert to the coming of Christ. I noticed that Aldi launched their Christmas advert at the beginning of the month, and I'm sure many others hit our TV screens at the same time. It marks the start of the rush towards Christmas. But this rush, even in the uncertain times we find ourselves living in today, can lead us to miss the importance of Advent. This year, we will be forced to slow down the pace of our lives. We won't be rushing around to see all our different family members, attending Christmas parties, planning where everyone's going to sleep, and all the other things that we usually do in the run-up to Christmas. This year, we have an opportunity to focus on those closest to us, and maybe take that opportunity to spend more time looking for God at work in our lives. Verse 32 of our gospel reading reminds us about Jesus' second coming, that the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The writer of Hebrews warns us against losing sight of the hope we have in Jesus, but reassures us that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Jesus also warns us in verse 33 that we should be on guard, be alert. And this can also be translated as be alert and pray. This month, as many of you will be aware, the archbishops called us to a month of prayer. Themes are provided for each day of the week, and these have also been printed in our news sheets. I have certainly felt the benefit of prayer during this second lockdown, a familiarity amongst all the uncertainty around me. If you do not usually pray regularly, I would encourage you to make this Advent a time of prayer as well. Starting today, the Church of England has launched a set of reflections. This year they've called it Comfort and Joy. It provides throughout Advent a weekly reflection, which includes a Bible reading and some reflection notes and some prompts for things that you may want to pray about. You can subscribe to it on the Church of England website, or you can download an app. So if you look at the link on the screen there, you can access all the information from that link. If you don't have access to the internet, then if you let Anita know, then we can also arrange to send out a printed booklet for you as well. Once we get a little bit nearer to Christmas, there's a few extra reflections. And then from Christmas to Epiphany, there is every day, there will be prayers and songs and lessons based on what we would normally do in a carol service. So they're basically splitting that out over the season of Christmas. So that's something that you may want to just consider if you just like something to give you a bit of structure. And it's also something that a lot of people up and down the country throughout the Church of England will be doing throughout this Advent and Christmas season. However, if you're looking for something a little bit simpler, the Church of England also reminds us that the fundamental prayer for Advent is summed up in one word, Maranatha. It's an Aramaic word used by Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. It's a word, very cleverly, with two meanings. Maranatha, meaning our Lord come, or Maranatha, our Lord has come. It reminds us that Jesus is both with us now, Maranatha, and that he will come again, Maranatha. We cannot understand the evil and suffering in our world, but God knows firsthand what we are going through. Even when we don't think God is at work in our world and our lives, he is. Sometimes we just need to slow down and look for him. As Christians, we have hope that one day he will return. This time of Advent is about looking forward to that time, looking and expecting that he could return at any moment. In a minute, we're going to sing a song, Sovereign Over Us, and it reminds us of the fact that God is at work throughout all of our lives. The words, there is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. You are working in our waiting. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. And recently, I have found the bridge in this song, that's a very technical musical term, but part of this song, particularly comforting. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. It is a reminder that no matter what we might be thinking, how we might see the world around us, that God is in there somewhere, working to bring his kingdom to earth. Maranatha.
St. Peter's is a diverse community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city. If you'd like to know more, you can find us online at stpetersderby.org.uk. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talks from St. Peter's, and we hope you will join us again for our next talk in about a week's time.